Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. Lord, thank you that you are holy, that you are powerful. Lord, that you are a generous God and you put in our hearts the desire to bless and help others. Lord, we just pray for Dominica. Lord, we ask for a blessing upon them. Lord, we ask for a blessing that the pianos, the organs, that the clothes, the furniture, Lord, that it would all go and be used and bless people and encourage. Lord, it's so exciting to hear that it's blessing the churches and the community. And Father, we pray that it would not only go in the name of men, but that it would be given and received in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, because of that, people would see your goodness. They would see your heart, and they would be touched by your Holy Spirit, God. And that they would see their need for you and repent of sin and humble themselves and come to faith and experience the joy and the peace and the love that you have for them. Father, we pray for us right now as we come to your word, Lord, as we're in our final message in this series, Lord, we ask that you would, Lord, that you would quiet our minds and hearts, Lord, that you would prepare us for your word. And Father, if there's things that we need to deal with, if there's sin, if there's junk, if there's stuff that is causing us to be a little bit further away from you in our relationship, Lord, we pray that there would be healing, that there would be repentance, that there would be growth. Lord, we pray for life transformation. Father, show us through your word what it is you would have us hear from you specifically. So, Father, we open our hearts and minds to you and to you alone. And Father, we ask for your blessing during this time, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we've been looking at prayer for the last few weeks in this series. And as we've been going through this series, prayer leads to kingdom living. The place where I wanted to end up on was prayer is in hearing from God. And in hearing from God, one of the greatest ways that we hear from God is through his word. And so as we pray through his word to build the kingdom of God, how does he speak to us? What is he saying? And my hope and prayer during this time is that we come to a place where we're challenged in a new way today by the way that God is speaking to us through his word, and that we come to a pleasure of praying through his word. So we're going to look at Psalm 19, and the title of the message today is Up Close and Personal, because God wants to be intimate with us. He wants to know us, and for us to not just know about him, but to take pleasure in the relationship that we have in him, and to take pleasure in his word, in one of the ways that he speaks to us. And in Psalms 19, the first six verses, it was talking about, we're not going to go into that, but the first six verses are talking about how God speaks through creation, and how he speaks through his creation to his people. And then he brings it a little bit more specific, and he shares with us how he speaks to us through his word. So Psalms 19, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect's a big word, isn't it? Perfect is a powerful, it means it's without mistake. It means it's not just mostly right. The law of the Lord is perfect, without fault. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Guys, in keeping them, there is great reward. I tell you, this is a beautiful picture. Who wrote this psalm? Anybody know? David. Yeah, David. So David wrote this psalm, and we're going to hit the first four verses here, and he shares with us just a passion and a pleasure that he has in the law in the Word of God. And how do you stay alive and not dead? How do you stay wise and not foolish? How do you stay happy in God and not miserable? And these things are all dealt with right here. Because we have a world around us that is, there are more prescriptions going out for the smallest of things at huge numbers. We've got people who are turning to other methods to cope with the challenges of life than hearing from God, hearing from His Word. And, you know, we have to be careful because there's a real over-prescription of drugs to deal with the challenges of life. It's not to say that sometimes we don't need some of the blessings that come through the doctors and that they can be a blessing. But it's not where our dependence is on the things that are emotional and social. And so because the scriptures are the word of the Lord, the communication and revelation of the living God, they have effects on us that are better than the effects of anything else that we can read or study or listen to. Our world is clamoring. You get on your phone, you can find 1,000 ways to deal with anything you want. I mean, the information that we can get on how to do this and how to do that and how to know about this and that, it's amazing. And so many of these things are saying, this is the key to life. This is what you need for satisfaction. This is what you need for joy. But they leave out God. And everything that leaves out God and His Word is going to lead us down a path that eventually will be a dead end. Eventually, we'll come to a place where we're like, I put all my hopes here, and once again, I've gone down a path that leads to nothing. The scriptures are the word of the Lord. That's one of the things I hear from this scripture here. It's truly the word of God, and we have a sixfold repetition from David here, and it's unmistakable of what's being said here. The law of the Lord is the testimony of the Lord. The precepts of the Lord are the commandments of the Lord. The fear of the Lord are in the precepts of the Lord. And so six times he uses the phrase of the Lord. And of the Lord, the words that you use there is Yahweh, Jehovah. That's an intimate, personal connection. That's less formal, and it's more intimate. And so because of the laws of the Lord, because of the truth of his word, he's wanting us to come into his presence, into the deep waters. The God who created all that is and everything wants to know us personally and intimately. This God has spoken with law, with testimonies, with precepts, commandments, and ordinances. And it's a blessing if we're willing to listen. Some of the things that are kind of encouragements from the New Testament that go along the same thing as 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. All of scripture, it's once again saying God's word is true and it's profitable to us. John 10:35 says, the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken. The scriptures are the word of God. As we come to God in prayer, one of the things that we need not leave out is the word of God itself, because it drives us to intimacy with God. And nothing can benefit us. Guys, hear this. Nothing can benefit us like the scriptures can. No other reading that we can do can have the impact in our lives. No other studying of anything. Now, I've got kids in school who are studying and learning. Those are important things. You guys are studying things. You need to know things for your job. But what about life in general? We need to know how. Life is difficult. There are so many minds out there that can cause such damage. And we've all experienced the brokenness in our hearts and lives. I tell you, last night was a special time for me personally. But I got to tell you honestly, I was not looking forward to it last night. Yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of my mother passing. And we had a time where we went and we got with her husband and the extended family. We all got together and we lit a candle that was a 24-hour candle, which is done to remember on the year marking after the first year of someone passing. And we watched videos of mom and with family. We shared stories. We got to share some of the things that we had found challenging in the past year. It was a wonderful time. But it was a hard time. It was a hard time. And the reason it was hard is because how do you celebrate the relationship you have with someone who's not there physically anymore? And one of the things as I was thinking about last night, and as in my bed last night and thinking about the time that we had had sharing, I was like, you know what? How do we really grow and celebrate in having a relationship with a God that we don't physically see? Have you ever had where you pick up with you get together with a friend that you haven't seen for a long time and you pick up right where you left off? There's all that history and you pick up right where you left off. Well, what if you don't ever come back in physical contact anymore? How do we pray to a God who can seem distant because he's out there? Because we don't physically see him, so it feels like he's out there. And the answer I have is the intimacy that comes with God through spending time with him in his word, because it's literally the conversation. It's the actual conversation of God to us speaking through his word. And when we delight in the laws and the precepts of the Lord, we're having a conversation. And part of the conversation, guys, is listening and hearing from God. And then responding in prayer. And David here is talking about what takes place as he focuses on the law of God and how good it is. And the good effects of meditating on the word of God. I see here David says in verse 10 that the words of God are more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, even really expensive, the pure gold, the really good gold. And he's saying here, it's more to be desired than gold, even the good stuff. Even the good stuff. Now, I got to tell you, if somebody comes and offers me some gold, I'm not going to say it's a bad day. Right? The things that we consider valuable in this world, there's some excitement around that. And yet it's nothing in comparison to the word of God. And at the end of verse 11, it says, in keeping them, there is great reward. In keeping God's truth and living out his truth, guys, we have great reward. That's not only in this life of the presence of God. That's part of the reward, is that we get to be in the presence of God here and now. We get to be hearing from a loving God who's speaking into our lives right now, who's showing us the way through all the junk of life and into the blessings and the joy. And it says it's better than not only gold, but fine gold and much gold. The point is clear. The benefits of knowing God and doing the word of God are greater than anything that money can buy. It's the best thing that we can do is live out the truth of the Word of God in our lives. So if you're tempted to read the, read the stock page before the Word of God in the morning, my encouragement is maybe spend some time reevaluating what's truly important. Another thing that comes to my mind is, if the Word of God is truly His Word to us, I want to encourage you guys, pray through a commitment to God to say, you know what, every day I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God. Because if it's more valuable than gold, doesn't it make sense to enjoy it? To be in the presence of what's most valuable? And so if church is more than just us getting together and doing nice things for people and feeling good about being together and supporting families, if it's more than that, if church is really about worshiping the one true God, then, man, my heart needs to change when it comes to understanding the value of the Word of God. And so I want to encourage us, I don't want to say, hey, let's make a commitment right now between you and me, because that's of little value. And I don't want it to be between us. I want it to be between me, between you, and God. So I want you guys to spend some time today thinking about, am I going to commit? Am I willing to commit? I don't know how much, but to every day, I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God. I'm going to make what the Word of God says is most valuable, I'm going to make it valuable in my life. And today, tonight, before, as your head hits the pillow, before you go to sleep, I want you guys to really prayerfully consider, am I willing to commit to each day spending some time in the Word of God? Because if it's of that much value, if God Himself says it's sweeter than gold, even the good stuff, then think of what the value it is to us individually and what that means in our relationship and our prayer time. Because now is if you guys want to improve your prayer life with God, spend more time in the Word. Guys, if you hear nothing else, hear that. Do you want to improve your prayer life? Spend more time in the Word. Because when you're hearing from the Word, what happens? We're convicted. We're convicted. We're challenged. God is speaking to us. And there's a humbling of spirit. And there's a need to say, God, respond. Have you ever gotten a love letter? It feels really good to do what? To respond to the love letter. We don't get a love letter from someone we love and just say, oh, that's nice. We read it. We reread it. We look at it. We chew it up. It says this, but what is she really saying? What is she saying in between the lines? We chew it up. We devour it. Isaiah says, eat this book. Make the Word of God a part of you. So that now what I understand of what's of real value, the things of this world, they don't hold the same value as they used to. And the things of eternity take on a whole new light. And now I read the Word of God and it's speaking to me in ways I didn't expect, let alone desire. And now when I hear from God through His Word, my response is in prayer, and it requires a response. The specific benefits of the Word of God. What is this great reward that's talked about in verse 11? It's talking about that makes the meditation on the Bible so much better than fine gold. Seems to me that what David is saying is it can be kind of come down to these things that we see through his word here. Life, wisdom, and happiness. Life, wisdom, and happiness, the very things that David mentions because it's the basis of everything else. The law of the Lord is perfect, what? Reviving the soul. Another good translation would be restoring the life. Reviving the soul, restoring the life. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In Matthew 4:4. This is why when Jesus was fasting for 40 days, and to learn as a man the radical need for the word of God and the only real need for food for a man. And food can give physical life, but the word of God gives spiritual life that never ends. Guys, if we eat, we're going to live a little bit longer. We eat a little bit more, we'll go a little bit longer. But eventually, for all of us, the day is coming. This life in the flesh is temporary. It's not ongoing in the flesh. But we have an opportunity to have eternal life with Him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. And you get that sense of, we hunger for the next word from God. Honestly, guys, there's times in my life where I go through the Word of God because it's what I do. It's part of what I do. And there's times where the Word of God has seemed dry to me. Just honestly. There's times where I've read it and I wasn't affected. I did the reading because it's part of what I do. And the reason that I wasn't affected is because my heart and my mind weren't in the right place to receive what God was saying. I was doing what I was supposed to do, but my heart wasn't there because I wasn't seeing God for who He was. And I wasn't seeing the Word for what it was, His communication to me. And when I get out of my self-focus, when I'm in those places and those times in my life, and I come back to what is real and where my hope is, where my pleasure and passion is in God Himself, I start realizing, oh yeah, this is the living Word. This is my pleasure. This is my passion. As a deer pants for the water. And then I start desiring God. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You cannot maintain a dynamic, powerful, a vibrant life in God if we neglect the Word. You can't be in a relationship that's growing and deepening with someone if you're not spending time with them, if you're not communicating with them. Even if you're physically separated, you can still be growing in that relationship if you're connecting with each other, if you're communicating with each other. And it's the same with God, and He is communicating to us through His Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The benefits of wisdom. The second half of verse 7, the testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the second half of verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And it's a wise person whose life makes sense in light of the realities of life, because we're coming to life not from our own understanding, but from the Word of God. And that's a real blessing. So where do we go to get out of... One of the things that it says here is the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. The fear of the Lord is pure. Guys, I want to hear from you. What do you think that means? The fear of the Lord. What is it talking about there? The fear of the Lord. What is that referring to? Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord. An understanding of who He is compared to who we are. A reverence. Yes, a reverence. An understanding that there's an understanding of who God is, right? There's a reverence for God. There's He's God, and who am I? Not God, right? And so in this, with that understanding, there's a blessedness, there's a joy, there's a wisdom that I can have. Because when I understand who God is and who I am, now the wisdom that comes from God can be mine, and I can have His wisdom in life situations because I'm not putting myself on the throne. And so the benefit is wisdom, and it's a great path. And we get a lot of challenges that come. A lot of challenges that come in life. But where do we go to get out of the kingdom of darkness? Because we're surrounded by the kingdom of darkness in this world, aren't we? We're surrounded by the flesh, by the attacks of the enemy. We're weak in ourselves. So where do we go to get out of the kingdom of darkness? We go to the Word of God. It's pure. It's exactly where we're going. Thank you. It gives us that protection, that blessed protection, because when we are in the presence of darkness, we can have a covering that comes from God Himself through His Word. All day long, unreality is being preached to us by the secular voices of this world. We're constantly being bombarded with lies of the enemy. And there is a way to experience the protection of God. And it's the covering that's referred to here. That covering of God, the presence of God. And everything disconnected from God is unreal in the way it was meant to function. Therefore, the world without God, our world, is mainly an unreal world. You know, we tend to say this is real life. Oh, this is just reality. And we tend to have kind of there's the spiritual and then there's real life. And that's a lie. What is real, what is truly real is lasting, is eternal. And what is lasting? Is this world lasting? Is the flesh lasting? And so what is real is what is eternal. And therefore, our hearts are drawn to something more than what we see. And therefore, the world without God is mainly the unreal world. Now, it's a very glittery world. It's very glittery. Lots of shiny objects that catch our attention. Tinseltown, that's right. But it might be glittery, but it's deadly. It's a deadly darkness, not just a glittery darkness. So how do you escape? The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes. The testimony of the Lord makes wise the simple. And the wisdom is a life that makes sense in the light of reality. And the light of reality shines from what? God's word. Not from God ignoring His world, but from God's word He doesn't ignore. He speaks to us daily through His word. And the benefits of that is joy. Guys, because we are protected, because we have this spiritual covering from the enemy's attacks, there is a joy that we can have. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There's a joy that's there. The ordinances of the Lord are sweeter than honey, drippings of the honeycomb. I love that. David, when he's thinking of what's the thing that I most love to taste, he's thinking honeycombs, honey straight from the comb. And I got to tell you, honey straight from the comb is amazing. My grandfather, one of the things he was a bee farmer. And one of the things he would do when I really deserved a great treat was he'd come in and he'd take out the honey from the thing and he'd show me removing it. You know, I'd help him move the hives around because we'd take it here for 2 weeks because then it got these kind of flowers, the pollen from here. Then we'd move the boxes over here to get a special flavor. And then he'd take me at the end of working with him and he'd cut one of the combs off and he'd put it down. And then he'd cut off a chunk and he'd hand it to me and I'd bite in. And it's so different than the honey that you buy. but you eat it from the comb, and it's just this amazing honey, and then you're chewing it, and it's the wax that's the comb, and you're chewing this honey-flavored kind of gum, and you keep chewing the comb, you keep chewing the wax, and just the delight and the joy. And as David is thinking, what can I think of as the best thing to taste? He thinks of the honeycomb. The ordinances of the Lord are sweeter than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. I love that. God's truth is so much sweeter than even those things. And guys, he gives us this joy of the Lord, and then he instantly takes us in the next few verses to a different place. He shows us the value of the word, and then he brings us into verse 12 here. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I love that. As soon as he shows us the value of his word and what it's good for and the blessings and the benefit and the joy and the wisdom. And then he brings us, and it's basically kind of to two areas of dealing with sin. And the first one is, who can discern the errors his errors, forgive my hidden faults. You know, some of the sins we do, and we are not even really sure what's going on. Some of our sins are not intentional. They're around us, and we're starting to do the wrong things, and we're not even sure fully what's going on. But God's truth, what? It reveals those things, doesn't it? It brings the lie, and it presents it. Oh, that is a lie. I was hearing from the world and from the enemy of God, and I didn't even know it. And then it goes on, verse 13, it says, keep your servant also from willful sins. Those are the sins that I know exactly what I'm doing. I've evaluated the situation. I've thought it through. And you know what? I want to sin because it looks better. It looks more shiny, there's instant pleasure and instant gratification from the sin. And I want that feeling. I want that, whatever, fill in the blank. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not, and here it is, rule over me. You know, the thing about sin is it creeps in and we start kind of playing with sin. And then we get familiar with sin. And then the sin rules us. And you can fill in the blank. We all have different areas that we struggle with, don't we? And some of them are more visible, and some of them are easier to hide, and all of them are deadly. But we have certain sins for each one of us that we've played around with long enough to where we've gotten more than just familiar, we've gotten dependent on that sin. That's part of who we are. And as we try and move back from it, there's this, who am I without that sin? How do I function without that? But the word of the Lord is more precious than sweet than honeycomb, and more precious than the finest of gold. It's of greater value. And it enlightens what the truth is in our lives, and it gives us a way to allow that sin to, number one, be exposed, and number two, be dealt with so that it no longer has a hold over us and it doesn't rule over us any longer. Then will I be what? Blameless. I love that. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. Why are we blameless? Because we found a way to deal with it in our own strength, or because we found a way to go to God with our sin, who is greater than our sin? Absolutely. Guys, we don't gain victory by trying harder. We gain victory by being humbled by our sin and going to God with it and having him deal with it. And we can't be innocent of our sin apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't work. Otherwise, there's no need for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so when we come by faith in what Christ has done on our behalf for us, and we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, now there's that sin is dealt with. And now as the new things come, there's a place to go with it and to ask for forgiveness and to put it at the foot of the cross. May the words of my mouth, and here it is, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. How can we have meditation be pleasing in sight of God? By meditating on his word. By valuing what he is saying to us. So he showed us the value of his word. And then he says, and guys, it's so valuable that when the spiritual attacks come, and they will, there is no way to have victory except we can have complete victory in Christ through the washing of the word. And all those things that you're struggling with, there's not one. You know that hidden thing, that thing that nobody here knows about you. Maybe one person does. But maybe no one does. That thing that you keep hidden back there, that doesn't have to rule your life anymore. That doesn't have to define you, and that doesn't have to haunt you. Because secret sin, it haunts us. Because there's that fear of one day I will be exposed for the hypocrite that I am. Well, guess what? Look around the room, guys. You've got a whole room full of hypocrites. Welcome to the club. And I don't say that lightly. We are all, we believe the word of God, and yet we choose sometimes to sin. Sometimes we're fooled, sometimes we just want it at the moment. And so I'm going to be selfish right now. I'm tired. I've got an excuse to be selfish. I've had a bad day. Sounds very logical, doesn't it? It also sounds familiar, doesn't it? Of course I'm acting like this. I had a terrible day, preceded by a terrible night's sleep. I haven't slept well all week. There's a good reason for my selfishness. Now not only am I selfish, I'm self-righteous. I can build on my sin, can't I? I can get really good at it. But may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my what? You see, there's one thing that's very clear here, guys. God's not after right behavior. God's after our hearts. He doesn't want us to just do the right thing. He wants us to meditate on his word so that our hearts are transformed, so that we take pleasure in loving him back by obedience. And that it's not, oh, I've got to obey. It's I get to love God back. And now the things of this world that are so valuable before, they lose their shininess, that glittery, goldy, really nice goldy sparkle. And now, what's of real value comes to light. And have you ever had that happen where you were living in sin, and then God revealed something, and the thing that you were valuing so much becomes so small, and now the thing that you value most is God and his truth, and in this area that you're dealing with, it becomes so, it's like words, there's not enough words to say how cool this is, how amazing this truth is. This is real, and God met me here, and it's a blessing. I love that we get to see into David's heart. The meditation of my heart may be pleasing in your sight, not the sight of other people, not in those around us who value other things, but we have the audience of one. We have the audience of one that really matters, and that is a real blessing. David loves God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you know what? He's still a man of sin, isn't he? He's still a man who sins. But he repents before God, and God speaks to him, and God heals his heart. and he grows and he matures and he's blessed. Because this is what it's about. So what in your life needs to change? I can think of some things in my life that need to change. What is God saying? Hear from God. What is God saying? You know what? This thing that you've got hidden back here, you don't have to be controlled by it anymore. Bring it into the light. Bring it before the Word of God. Let the truth of the Word rush over it and rush over you so that the lie can replace the truth. Because the lie from the enemy, it might have a hold of you, but it doesn't have to stay that way. We can be free in Christ. We can be free in Christ. And we can experience that freedom in more and more areas of our life as the Word of God reveals the sin and then gives us the understanding and the strength and the power to deal with victory over that sin. And that's where God wants us, guys. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now, Lord. We thank you. Lord, guys, let's stand together in prayer. And as God is putting anything on your heart, if there's anything you want to pray for, anything that's a loved one, let's bring our hearts before God in prayer, and we'll do that for a few minutes. We praise you for your word. Father, I ask right now that each person here, that we would all have a new hunger for your word. And Father, tonight when our heads are on the pillow, Lord, we ask for a time of just, am I willing to commit to being in an ongoing, in that real relationship of not only speaking to you, but in hearing from you through your word. Father, I pray that each person here would come before you and be willing to say, I'm going to commit to spending some time. And that you would fill in the blank of how long that is. In different days, it'll be different amounts. But Lord, that we would spend time each day in your presence, in your word, hearing from you. Father, forgive us for only wanting to speak with you at times and speak at you at times, rather than spending some of that time hearing from you and hearing from your word. Lord, we desire to build the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you for what happened in Dominica. We thank you that we got to be a part of that. Lord, as we hear from you, you bring us into new lands, new areas of wonder, new adventures. Father, we desire to see your will in our own backyard too. We desire to see some change in Skyway, in South Seattle, in the greater Seattle area. Father, we desire to see a country that, and a world that desires you and loves you back. And so, Father, in our spheres of influence, we pray for opportunities to live out your word in the lives of others. Father, use our time well. May we be wise with our time. May we experience the joy and the pleasure of being in your word and being with you, so that when we're out in community, we're prepared to give an answer. We're prepared to speak truth into the lives of those around us, to speak the truth in love in ways that people can connect with, Lord. Bless your people for your purposes, Lord. We pray for salvation for more in this community because of your people going out in the truth of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.